following has been produced by PutThemInASong.com.
My name is Shane Yoder. I write songs for a living. And every day, I hear stories transform into songs. Now you can too. Welcome back to The Root Note. When this guest ordered a song for her husband, she said it was a fairy tale love. But the more I read the details she sent, it didn't really fit with any fairy tale I've ever heard. Well, at least Disney didn't write it yet. And then I got to thinking, well, maybe they did. They just didn't put the right characters together in the same movie.
Wanna know a secret? Promise not to tell?
We are standing by a wishing well. Make a wish into the well. That's all you have to do. And if you hear it echoing, your wish will soon come true.
Now I know I'm dreaming.
Master! I don't think you quite realize what you've got here. So why don't you just ruminate whilst I illuminate the possibilities?
Mr. Aladdin, sir, have a wish of two or three. I'm on the job.
You big nabob.
You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend.
This is Season 2, Episode 1, Genie from Aladdin.
I wanted to tell you also before we close out about our stray people. May or may not be included in the podcast.
Yeah.
Of course. Everybody is wanting to hear about the stray people.
I guarantee it.
All is now being recorded.
Well, we actually met at work. I don't know if we can say names of companies, but we worked for a large insurance company, and that is where we met. As I told you before, our relationship was full of red flags, and it wasn't even supposed to be a relationship. You know, it was funny because we were both fresh out of relationships, him out of a long-term marriage, and I was out of a long-term relationship, but you know, we worked together. He was 13 years older than me. But all these things, like I've always told myself, like, never get involved with someone at work. That's just bad news. This is where I'm planned to be for the rest of my career. You know, that we don't go there. And you know, no commitment in a relationship right after a serious relationship is ended. You know, you got to have the rebound, right? So we had actually talked about it and said, you know, no strings attached. We are actually going to use each other for a rebound. Like, that's what this is. Neither one of us are prepared to have a relationship. We're just going to have fun. And so that's sort of the preamble to it. There's a lot more to it, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But that is how we met, was at work.
Okay. So who started talking to who?
That's hard to say. Really, the first time I think I really noticed her. I mean, you cruise around an office. There's 500 or 600 people in an office. You recognize faces, and that's about it. Some people, like Aaron, will make an effort to attach a name to a face. I typically don't even go that far unless I have to see somebody more than twice a day. But you know, she was just, you know, this girl at work. She was one of the secretaries, and we were in a team meeting, and things were going particularly badly. There were some changes going on or whatever, and a lot of folks had a really negative outlook on it. And being in a meeting, I did what I do best, which is just sort of sit back and hope it goes away and be quiet. And she piped up, which is what she does best, and basically turned the meeting around, the attitude around. You know, just put a positive spin on everything, you know, and much more than just, you know, regular corporate speak and looking at something and saying, let's make a positive out of this. She actually, you know, explained you know, this is why this is a good thing and this is why that's a good thing, and I'm glad you said that, even though it was kind of and I was like wow, who is this, you know? And I was really impressed with her. And at that point, she got sort of on my short email list of people I would send, you know, emails to, like, you know, we did work together as a team on different things. And, you know, occasionally in the email there would be a double entendre, or sometimes there would be chocolate on her desk, or sometimes she would fire one back to me. And it just kind of became this, I guess, a low-level flirt, which was...
HR approved?
I don't know. Nothing really salacious going on, but, you know, it was... There was something there, and it was mutually recognized, I think, that neither of us were available. This was just passing time. But, you know, there was definitely rapport there, so that by the time my divorce came through and she is breaking up with her guy, yeah, the field was tilled.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
Well, you know, I had my eye on him, actually, long before that. It was the weirdest thing, and I'd never had an experience like this before, and never have since, obviously. But I was still a lower level than he was as far as position in the company. And he had walked by my desk one day. I wasn't even paying attention, but I actually felt him walk by. I don't really know how to explain it, but I got goosebumps. It was like an electric presence. I don't know. It was bizarre. And I stopped what I was doing, and I turned to my coworker behind me, and I said, "Paul, who was that?" And he's like, "I don't know, one of the reps." And I was like, "Well, that's not helpful." But, you know, I kind of blew it off because, again, I, at the time, was in a relationship, and after some digging, figured out who he was and found out he was married and just kind of had let it go. But, you know, my relationship was failing, and obviously his was as well. And again, you know, we both recognized that we definitely appreciated each other, but we were both unavailable, and we both respected that, and we're not in any way, despite being miserable with what we had, we're not, you know, cheating was absolutely off limits. That was not in either of our moral compasses.
Right.
Which probably just strengthened it for us.
You know, when both of you realize that I'm not going to cheat because this has happened to me, so you know what it's like, and you're not going to put anybody else through that. And
right.
When you're with somebody brand new, it's nice to be able to pull that card off of the table when you both have a similar story.
Who asked who on the first date?
Well, that's Pandora's box, isn't it?
Wait, define date. What do you mean?
Oh, man.
Okay, Shane, so here's how it went down. Like I said, this was supposed to be no strings attached, no commitment. We were literally supposed to just use each other to learn how to have fun, right? So we were supposed to go back to his bachelor pad for lunch one day. And we were on the way there, and all of a sudden we were stopped at a restaurant, and he took me out to lunch. And I was like, oh, I see. It was all talk. Okay. So we had a really nice lunch, and that was great. And on the way back, we were walking up the stairs to go back to our desks, and I told him, I knew you were all talk. And actually, I was feeling really deflated. I was like, oh, man, he wasn't really into me. I totally thought he was. Wow, that was kind of embarrassing. And he turned around and kissed me. And so I don't know if you can call that our first date. And then there was Brad's car had broken down, and he lived close to work. And I realized that he had been walking to work. I mean, close, but not terribly close. It was still a couple miles. And so I started picking him up and giving him rides to work in the morning and taking him back. So one night I had called him and said, what time would you like me to pick you up in the morning? And what'd you say, Brad?
I don't know, like maybe 2.
And I was like, well, that's a little early. Why don't I just come over now?
Okay.
And so...
And then it was like 10 minutes of, oh,
right? The whole time, both of us are going, oh, my God, what are we doing? What? This is crazy. This is, oh, my God. And it turned out to be the most amazing night. I hope it's not too explicit for your podcast, but it was amazing.
So did he really have to leave for work at 2 a.m.?
Nah.
No.
Okay. But, you know, women are always late. And...
to be fair, I am not. I am always on time. But
so, Brad, what attracted you to Aaron?
I don't know. She's sincere, empathetic, damn good looking, confident. You know, everything that I need in order to make up for what I have not got. So,
well.
I know where she's coming from. My ex will tell you this as well. I was rather put to bad use in the marriage. And I'm not a very confident person by nature anyway, at least I wasn't. And so I'm pretty guarded, generally. And I think Aaron actually used the word first, but I felt safe with her. And without actually wanting to dig into why that was, I just kind of went with it.
What attracted you to Brad?
Well, many things. But, I mean, there was that initial chemical, electric... whatever it was, connection in the universe was the first thing. And then, you know, like I said, I was fully prepared for him to take me home and use me. And instead he took me out to lunch and he's like, no, I just can't do that. That's not me. And that was a new concept for me. that kind of blew my mind. And then just getting to know his heart. He is amazing. He is the kindest, most loving, most patient person I have ever met. And he's so intelligent. Oh, my God, I love his mind. He won't give himself credit, but he's brilliant. And there's just so much. I have nothing bad to say about him. He's amazing. And I wish that he would give himself some credit, but... I think that also is part of why our relationship works so well, is that I can remind him how amazing he is when he's getting down on himself, you know, and feeling inadequate, because he's so, so wonderful. And he is a handsome man. He also doesn't think that, but he absolutely is. He's perfect.
You have any thoughts, Brett?
Yeah, she's also a really good liar.
I am not!
As you guys started dating, can you think of any memorable stories that could be funny, impactful? If you want to bring sad into it, that's fine. Or, you know, whatever stands out.
Well, I mean, there's... the story I had told you about when for the song, after our first amazing night.
Oh yeah.
We hadn't gotten much sleep, so we hit up Starbucks first thing in the morning on the way to work, and we both got coffees, and I think he had a mocha or something, and the barista went to hand him his cup of coffee, and apparently there was some chocolate or something on the side of the cup, and she had reached out to give him the cup of coffee, and then she pulled it back at the last second, and she goes, wait, it's dirty. And she gave us both this look, and we both looked at each other like, uh-oh, is it that obvious?
On?
I mean, it just felt like we were busted. And pretty much every day since then, I mean, there's just little things like that. It's like the universe speaks to us all the time. There was the time at Bed Bath & Beyond. Brad, remember the slow checker?
Yeah.
I don't recall what movie it is.
Some Pixar movie.
It's an animated movie with the sloth.
At the DMV.
Right, it's got the slow laugh, just moves very slowly.
This is a clip they're talking about from Zootopia.
You said this was going to be quick!
Well, are you saying that because he's a sloth, he can't be fast? I thought in Zootopia anyone could be anything.
Flash, flash, 100-yard dash. Buddy, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Hey, Flash, I'd love you to meet my friend. Darling, I've forgotten your name.
Officer Judy Hoff, CPD, how are you?
I am doing just
fine,
as well as I can be. What?
Hang in there.
Can I do?
Well, I was hoping you could run a plane
for you.
Well, I was hoping you could
today.
The look that the sloth gives, with the looking up slowly and then the eyes widen. This checker was moving so slowly. It was astonishing. We weren't upset about it. It was just really like we were both just flabbergasted. And I look over at Brad and he gave me that look just like that sloth. And we both just fell out in hysterics. You know, we didn't have to say a word. We were just, we're always right on board.
Brad, is there anything that sticks out to you?
Is it too early to talk about animals?
No, you can bring that up.
Good. Okay.
All right. So Aaron and I are in the garage one, I guess, spring or summer afternoon working. We're overhauling some brakes for one of the cars. And the neighbor comes from across the street. Got his work gloves on, and he's got some kind of gray fuzzy thing in his hand. And I'm like, oh, what's this about? And he rolls up and he says, hey, I found this under the house. And as he's opening up his hand, he's presenting a kitten, which might be a week old, maybe two. Eyes are still shut, tiny little stumpy tails, like the little kittens will have. And it's not moving. And I'm thinking, I grew up, with cats. I know what a dead cat looks like. I'm thinking, that looks like a dead kitten to me. And he's like, do you guys want this? And he starts handing it to Aaron, and I'm like, no, don't hand it to her. And by that time, she already had it, and I was like, okay, we have a cat now. And I swear to God, the thing was not responsive. It was clearly not quite dead. I mean, it was breathing just a little bit. And Aaron straight up sent me to the pet store to go get kitten formula, which I didn't even know was a thing.
I didn't either.
Now you do. I go to the pet store and I pick some of that up, thinking for sure I'm going to be bringing it back, so I make sure I know where my receipt is. But the kitten's still not dead when I get home. And Erin's, she whips up some of the formula and starts, puts it in a dropper and starts trying to drop or feed the kitten. I think about a half a drop smeared across the kitten's bottom lip. And then pretty much she batted the dropper out of the way and plonked her face down in the bowl.
Oh, wow.
The kitten just absolutely refused to die, and we still have her. She's got to be like 8 years old, I think, by now. She still weighs maybe 6 or 7 pounds. And, just the most loving ragdoll, long-haired gray cat that you've ever seen. Just amazing.
So
she forced it to live.
That's not what she's doing to you, right?
In a way, but I don't really regret it.
What are some other animals that she's brought home?
Well, that's what I love about her. She doesn't actually bring anything home by herself. She'll either make it my idea, and she says I'm so smart, but I know what she's up to. She's just trying to put me off my guard because I know that I'm slow. It's sort of sick, really, what she does. But the dogs, I guess, both were my idea. Although she found them. Whatever stray people we end up bringing into the house, somehow ends up being my idea.
We'll get to the stray people in a minute. That's another thing. We'll get into that.
Of course, I do take credit for the duck, though, because that was my fault. We're in Murdoch's. I forget what we're in Murdoch's for. We don't... Oh, yeah.
Chicken food.
For chicken food, yeah, because... Well, chickens were my idea, too. But we're in Murdoch's, you know, in the springtime, and they've got all the Murdoch's at the feed store, and they have... This particular time of year was right by Easter, and they had a bunch of you know, chickens and ducks and baby turkeys and things for people that like to raise dinner. I just kind of looked at it and said, "Hey,
raise
dinner." It's like, "Hey, you want to get a baby duck?" And she's like, "Oh, don't play with my heart." And I'm like, "Nah, go get a baby duck. It'll be fun," I said. And I can't even finish this story. I'm gonna let you do it from here.
Well, so we got a duckling. She's wonderful. Her name is Fudge. She actually has since gone to live on a farm now. We did have her
a real farm, not where my puppy is from my childhood, but a real farm.
Oh, honey. Right. So we had she lived in the house with us for what, 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
She loved to follow me around when I was mowing the yard. She would just follow me in the lawnmower all around. You know, she'd snuggle on the couch with you. She had a big dog crate that she slept in at night, but she would just roam around the house when we were home. And but toward the end there, she started this squawking thing at between 3:30 and 4 a.m. every single day. Never figured out what that was about, why it started, but I don't know if you've ever heard a duck really quack.
No, not in the living room, I haven't.
Oh, man, let me tell you, it will scramble your brain. It's really loud. She did. And nobody in the house was getting any sleep. I mean, and this went on for months. I tried everything, putting a blanket over the cage at night, laying next to the crate all night. We tried everything. I don't know what started it, why all of a sudden, but after a couple of months, they did end up relocating her to a friend of mine's farm, where she has a whole barn full of chickens and other various animals. So she now thinks she's a chicken. She apparently cuddles with the chickens and thinks she's a chicken. So she's completely happy there, but... we did have a house duck. Our current animal situation is we have two large dogs, a lab mix, and a the rescue said
an undocumented Staffordshire Terrier.
There you go. Yeah, that's what he is. But they're each about what, 85 pounds.
Yeah.
And then we've got the three cats. We have three dragons. We have a bearded dragon, which I adopted from a friend of mine who didn't feel like she had enough time to devote to him. Well, turns out it's a her. And then I just recently acquired two Chinese water dragons, and they're absolutely amazing. Totally in love with them. I don't know what it is about animals. I see them and I bond with them, and they must be mine. So in addition to... being a rescue for animals, we sort of ended up being a bit of a rescue for a couple of people, and started out with my niece and her boyfriend, who were homeless. They had actually been tent camping for months. The two of them and their three dogs, trying to just figure out how to make ends meet. I mean, it's a tricky situation out here in Colorado. It's expensive, especially when you just don't seem to have it together. So they were in a rough spot, and my sister wasn't in a position to help them out either. So I talked to Brad and said, you know, it was starting to get cold. I'm like, we can't leave them out in the woods camping. Like, we've got to take them in. And they absolutely refused to give up their dogs. I mean, that to them, that is their kids. That's their family.
Right.
They couldn't break up their family. So we had a spare room, and so we took them in for a while, and tried to helped them get on their feet, you know, gave them a place to stay and food and tried to give them some guidance because they hadn't, yeah, it sounded like neither one of them had really had a whole lot of...
they didn't have no bringing up.
Well, no kind of real role models to show them how to adult. And, you know, and Brad
right.
and I
yeah.
have this great relationship, and we're, you know, we both work really hard, and, you know, we do very well. You know, we're by no means rich people, but we also live beyond our means. So, you know, I mean, we were able to help and kind of show them how things can work. So we were really hoping to be a good influence on them, and they were with us almost 6 months. Unfortunately,
wow.
They
didn't work out.
Yeah. No. They did not have a good relationship between each other. You know, we tried to give them some advice without being what's the word I'm looking for? Too invasive.
Preachy.
Yeah. Right. Just trying to give them some guidance, setting a good example. This is the daughter of my sister from my dad's side of the family. And there's a strong line of autism spectrum on that side. So they can be a little quirky, I guess, if you're not used to dealing with that sort of thing. You know, not saying anything bad about it, but it can be difficult sometimes. So, at some point we did have them, they both got jobs and they were both working, so that we thought things were looking up, but, you know, the relationship aspect, there was just this vibe in the house that wasn't working out, and we ended up actually having to evict them, which was awful. Having to evict a family member is an experience I hope nobody ever has to deal with, because it broke my heart, but it was also, we had to protect our home, and it was just being disrupted so badly. I don't honestly know exactly how they're doing. I was unfriended upon that whole scenario, and I have not had an update. That was, what, two and a half years ago now?
Yeah, I think. It would have been April.
Right, so, but I have kind of heard among the grapevine, and it sounds like she's at least still working, and I believe they have broken up. So we're hoping that at least we did have a little positive, maybe something good did come out of it, ultimately, even if it didn't seem like it at the time.
Well, I can say the 54 minutes and 24 seconds I've been talking to you, you definitely had a positive vibe. And created something positive in their lives, and I'm sure you guys have influenced them more than you know.
Well, that is our hope for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. That's part of the message that I really wanted to put out there in this whole story is, you know, don't give up hope. You know, stay positive. And we did, because in fact after that we ended up taking in another stray person.
4 months later, we just had the room cleaned up.
That's right. It was going to be my office, and then my son's friend, well, I guess we didn't even really talk about that. So we've got five teenagers now. With our blended family it was four. I have a biological son and Brad has three. So my son was 16 at the time, and his friend was also 16, without getting too much into it, in a really bad situation, needed a place to go. You know, he's a good kid that just got dealt a bad hand. And long story short, Dad signed over guardianship to us. So we took him in, too. I mean, Brad and I talked about it, you know, it's the right thing to do, and... You know, we've already got four. What's one more teenager, right? I mean, so we took him in. It was a little rough for a while, Actually, I don't know that I can even say that. He's been great. He's been really great, and he's come so far, and he's almost done with high school now. You know, he's kicking butt in school. He's working, doing construction stuff, and he's come so far as a person. To see him grow and flourish, it's just been amazing. He's come out of his shell, and it does my heart good to see him. So it doesn't always work out, but when it does, oh, it's so fulfilling.
Is your marriage life any different than when you were dating?
No.
Not really, no. Find goofiness where we can find it and enjoy it.
Well, to be fair, we only actually officially, quote-unquote, dated for, what, 3 months?
Yeah, about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a very quick thing. So I guess going back to that, again, it was supposed to be forbidden. It was supposed to be, you know, just a no strings attached thing. But we both figured out pretty quickly that what we had was exactly what we were both looking for. And so I pretty much ended up moving in shortly after our first night. you know, spent a lot of time over there, and, you know, items started kind of coming over there for convenience and started spending the night there. And then, yeah, we just sort of ended up, I don't really like the term so much, but shacking up. And, you know, we talked about getting married, and we thought, all right, well, you know, that's ridiculous. It's so soon. You know, well, let's plan on it for like a year. Let's talk about it in a year. And then it was, let's talk about it in 6 months. And then by light of the fish tank on New Year's Eve, we just said our I do's.
Light of the fish tank, huh?
You can do that in Colorado. You can self-solemnify a marriage. You don't need a witness or anything.
Oh, really?
And in fact, as batty as that sounds, our wedding vows are even better than that. Have you ever seen Joe versus the Volcano?
No, I haven't. I'm going to insert a clip here, though, but go ahead and explain.
Could you marry us, please?
Okay. I don't want to get married.
What is the problem? You're afraid of the commitment? You're going to have to love and honor me for about 30 seconds. You can't handle that?
All right. Marry us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You want to marry her?
Yes.
You want to marry him?
Yes.
Don't marry.
And the wedding vow is basically, do you want to marry him? She goes, yeah. Okay, do you want to marry her? Yeah. You're married. And so we basically, you know, did some modifications to that, and that was it. About 15 seconds of ceremony. It was fantastic.
Yep, it was perfect.
Did you end up taking the fish home?
Oh, no, they were in the living room already.
Oh, okay. Oh, you were in your house.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, okay. That's the way to do it.
Boy, I tell you, it really was.
Aaron mentioned the gender swap.
I'll let her talk about that. It's nothing kinky, I don't think, but...
No. No, it just, it does seem like we are kind of unconventional that way, because, Brad is the kitchen man. Like, that is his domain. Stay out of the kitchen, because he is the cook. He likes things to be where he put them. He doesn't like to have to dance around other people when he's doing his thing. He's an amazing cook. So that's amazing for me, because I can cook, but I don't like it. I really don't. So he's always taken care of that. And, you know, he's better at just about every domestic thing. Like, he can sew. I can't sew. I don't know how, but he can. And, you know, I'll swap laundry over, you know, I'll put laundry in the washer and dryer, and then I'll put a basket of clean clothes in the living room, and I don't know, I just have this mental block. I just hate putting clothes away, and he'll do that too, because you know, as OCD as I am, I just can't seem to bring myself to do it most of the time, and he's usually the one that ends up doing that.
Brad, I'd like to ask you a question. Have you ever tried crocheting?
I have actually the dexterity of a gorilla. When it comes to fine motor skills, I'm not that great.
My wife taught me how to crochet, and the year that she taught me, I knitted her so many different like scarves and or infinity scarves. I think that's what she calls them. And I'd sit there with a glass of whiskey and just crochet while we're watching like Modern Family or something like that.
No, I'm not quite that confident yet.
Well, you know, I mean, he is a manly man though. I mean, he can do it all. He works on the cars. He can fix anything in the house. You know, plumbing, electrical. You name it, he can do it all, and it just blows my mind. He's amazing. I don't know how he does it, but and then he puts up with me because, you know, I come home and all I want to do is just sit on the couch. You know, we swap though. Like, we have our lazy days, and we're a team. So, you know, some days he needs his break, and some days I need mine, and we just pick up the slack for each other, and that's why it works out. But I mean, he does not put that all on me. Like so many other relationships that I've seen. Really, our sense of humor, we love to laugh, we're always laughing, and we are totally accepting of everybody. Like, it doesn't matter.
You don't mean to be offensive.
No, we're not, we don't discriminate. Which is why we enjoy offensive jokes so much. Like, it's kind of a competition. Like, the more offensive, the better. And right now, his mother, I think, still holds the victory on the most offensive jokes.
Yeah.
Except she wasn't joking. That's the problem with it. I mean, I had no idea. He told me later she wasn't kidding, but.
This is the best. What was it?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't want to stereotype or anything, but Mom is from rural Arkansas. She's from Wheatley, which I think today has a population of just over 300. So it's grown tremendously since she was there. When she was 16, her dad died, and they ended up moving to St. Louis. Not the nice part of St. Louis, but that's where she met my dad. Dad's a city boy. They used to shoot rats in the basement with 22 rifles. I'm still not sure how that happened, but I mean, they were, you know, just rough people. Mom's about 4'11", maybe 80 pounds, and she was playing varsity basketball in St. Louis. So
she was playing basketball? Is that what she said?
Yeah, and she was playing varsity basketball. Little tiny white girl. But, you know, they have their opinions about different sorts of people. And we were, I think, married for 2 years, Aaron and I. And they said, hey, come on this cruise to Alaska with us. So we said, hey, that sounds like fun. So spent 10 days on a boat with my parents. And we're at dinner one day towards the end of it. But politics comes up, and I'm starting to kind of shy away from that, like I do, find a corner I can disappear in and not participate. Because I kind of know where this is going. And Barack Obama's president now. And I don't remember exactly how we looped around to it, but Mom kind of came out with, and I'm never going to get that smell out of the White House.
I spit my drink out through my nose during our formal dinner.
You know, and that's the thing, is I knew she wasn't kidding. But I guess fortunately for the moment, Aaron did not realize that.
I was like, oh, winning. That is the most offensive joke I have ever heard in my life. Oh, my God, you're hilarious. Yeah, and so later Brad was like, she wasn't kidding.
When you sent me that story, I thought you were talking about, she was talking about Donald Trump. I didn't get any kind of backstory about that.
Right, yeah.
To her credit, Mom and Dad don't like him either.
Well, maybe we should bring her on and get some
get some jokes.
That's a hard no.
You guys were laying in bed one night. Were you watching the Olympics?
Oh my gosh. Well, that's our favorite time to come up with really hysterical stuff, apparently, is when we're supposed to be mellowing out and going to sleep, and both of our brains just go awry, and, you know, we both have very stressful jobs, and so by the time it's time to unwind, we're both goofy. Mm-hmm. I forget who said it or exactly how it started, but somebody had said something about we should have Olympics for just the average person. And I think we had called it the subpar Olympics or something.
Well, that's what we figured apart. They were showing ads for the Paralympics. And I was looking at the word thinking, spelled Paralympics, which would be average people Olympics. And I'm like, that's not average people. Average people would be like if they just set a lottery. Okay, Brad, you're on the basketball team this week, or you're doing track. And whoever wins just happens to win, but it's just average people.
It's a great idea.
But you know, folks, you know, amputees, folks in wheelchairs or whatever, I mean, they're not really par, which is why they have their own events. Mm-hmm. So, being wrong like we are, we call, well, they would be the subpar Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
And then we started coming up, with events for the subpar Olympics, and that's where disfigure skating came from. That's it.
Oh my gosh, Eva, there's always something goofy coming out of her mouth. We were talking about the zombie apocalypse at one point, and Brad says, zombie apocalypse, as in, like, alpaca
mm-hmm. lips. Yeah.
And sure enough, it's on the internet. You can Google it. It's already a meme. But
is it really?
Yeah, it is. It is. Just about anything's already been done. But we thought we were pretty special.
And sure enough, if you search Zombie Alpacalypse on YouTube, you'll find a song written by Daryl Pierce.
The zombie alpacalypse just ate my neighbor's cat. I wanna fight the zombies with a baseball bat, but I got work to do, so now I has a sad.
Why did you want to put Brad into a song?
Well, Brad gives me everything. Everything that I want, everything that I need, everything that I don't need. He's just amazing and supportive and wonderful. And I'm a terrible gift giver. And he never asks for anything. He doesn't seem to really want anything. He's just content all the time. Or at least he says he is. And I wanted to do something really special for him. On New Year's, we'll be married 10 years this year. Father's Day is coming up, and his birthday is on the 22nd. And so I wanted to give him something really special. And he loves music, all kinds of music. And so I thought, what do you get the man that doesn't want anything? But deserves everything. And I thought that you could help me with that, and you certainly have. I'm so pleased to have a song for us, you know, that means something special between us, and, you know, it's funny, and it's quirky, and it is us, and I think it was the perfect thing for him.
And so she's playing the song, and I'm like, okay. And the first two things I notice is the Wilhelm scream, because I can hear that in my sleep from 4 miles away. And it wakes me up, and my teeth fall out of my head. And so there was that, and then there was the Irregardless, and now you've got my attention. As I was listening to it, I'm like, man, where did she find this song? You know. And then at the very end of it, there's the remark about this figure skating, and I'm like, okay, this is customized. And so my first question here was, okay, how did you do this? And on re-listening and stuff like that, it's touching. I really enjoy it. It's cool to have something like that.
the messages that I really want to make sure come across here is one, my wish for everyone in this world is that at some point in their life they get to experience a love and a partnership like we have. And listening to The Root Note, and I love the episodes with you and your wife, because I very much feel like you do share that same kind of bond that we have. And I just want to put it out there, I wish for everybody to experience this and have this, and what a wonderful world it would be if we could all have something like this.
Thank you guys so much for taking your time out to do this. And Brad, you didn't say a whole lot, but when you did, it was gold.
But, you know, that's how he is. He's quiet, but man, is he brilliant.
That's the way I like to describe myself.
I love it.
And now, this is Genie from Aladdin.
It's a twisted story, like a strange smell in the White House. It shouldn't be there, but somebody should clean it up. But this couple wouldn't. It's a story of fantasy and horror. But irregardless, it's a story of love. Well, she said it's a fairy tale, very rare kind of love. The red flags were everywhere, saying I don't care, it's Starbucks. As her love was churning, it spilled out of the cup. Barista said it's dirty, they said we don't give a flying duck. Hey, look there, honey, can I take it home? She wishes feeling lucky, cause her husband loves her so. And because he's always patient, her wish is his command. She sings his praises like only a princess can. It's like Snow White and the genie from Aladdin ended up together, so the story is better. It's an unconventional fairy tale heaven, cause the princess gets her wishes from the genie, not Aladdin. He cleans a lamp and the rest of the house, but if the kids need discipline, hope mama's not around. They were perfectly together like a tight-knit team, complete with offensive jokes from the locker room at Disney. She wants the final words for this fairy tale love. It's a little untraditional, so she can't find the ones. So what does the princess do with these feelings so strong? She gathers up her animals and puts them in a song. It's like Snow White and the genie from Aladdin ended up together, so the story is better. It's an unconventional fairy tale heaven, cause the princess gets her wishes from the genie, not Aladdin. Here's the moral of the story, get that coffee and start dating, cause you just might hear a joke about disfigure skating.
The Root Note has been brought to you by Put Them in a Song, in collaboration with MBI Studios. All guests know they are being recorded and are willing to be. All music and songs are created and scored by PutThemInASong.com. You can follow the Root Note Podcast at Root Note Pod on Twitter. If you would like to have a song or music created for you or a loved one, visit PutThemInASong.com, where you have a better voice than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Root Note.